let us begin Parshas Miketz. A lot to talk about, a lot to discuss. I'd like to deal with three particular and specific questions this morning. And really the lion's share is going to be in Perek Mem Beis, chapter 42 of Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Miketz, Perek Mem Beis. So if you open up to Perek Mem Beis, chapter 42, we will read the first 8 or 9 or 10 psukim or so. And I'd like to raise three questions and share with you various different approaches to deal with some very, very basic questions, difficult questions, challenging questions in Parshas Miketz, and really in the latter Parshios of Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash, Vayechi, which are really all one story. Yosef's dreams, and then Yosef's ultimate rise to power in Mitzrayim, and the brothers and his, and ultimately Yaakov's reunion with Yaakov is really one felt swoop, which is the lion's share of the end of Sefer Bereishis. So take a look in Perek Mem Beis. The Torah tells us, Vayar Yaakov ki yesh shever b'Mitzrayim. So we're picking up, there's a famine in Canaan. Yaakov is aware of the fact that there is sustenance, food in Mitzrayim. Vayomer Yaakov levanav, lama tisro. And Yaakov tells his sons, lama tisro, don't make yourself conspicuous. Meaning, when you go to Mitzrayim, don't create a situation whereby everybody will notice you, everybody will see you, everybody will take note of you. You're going to the Gullus. Be under the radar. Don't make yourself so obvious, so blatant in terms of who you are, what you're about. Sort of be under the gun, under the radar, and don't establish yourself in a very powerful and strong way. That in of itself is something to discuss and to talk about, certainly for the Jew and the Gullus. These two words, Lama Tisra, are certainly something to think about. But we're not going to deal with that this morning. Vayomer hinei shamati ki yeshev b'mitzrayim redu shama. Go down to Egypt. V'shivru lanam yisham v'nichi v'lanamas. The famine is so intense in Canaan that it's a matter of life and death. Therefore, there is a heter to leave Eretz Yisrael and find us, come back with food. Vayerdu achei Yosef asara lishbor bar b'mitzrayim. So 10 of Yaakov's sons go down to Egypt. Binyamin stays with Yaakov. Yosef is not known of his whereabouts. So Yaakov has 10 sons, one of which he remains behind, and that is Binyamin. And that the Torah tells us, Ves Binyamin, Achi Yosef lo shalach, Yaakov does not send Binyamin. Ki amar pen yikre'en oson, he's concerned there'll be some sort of difficulty and some sort of circumstance situation will occur, and he doesn't want to know what happened to Yosef to happen to Binyamin. The sons of Yaakov reach Egypt. And here we go. Pasuk Vav. V'yosef hu hashalit al ha'aretz, hu hamashpir l'chol ha'am ha'aretz, v'yavo achei Yosef v'yishtach v'lo apayim arza. So this is a critical pasuk, Pasuk Vav. Yosef hu hashalit. Yosef is the superior. He's in charge. He's the boss over all of Egypt. Who hamashpir l'cholam? He is the one who is responsible for feeding and for being the one to give out food in the entire land of Egypt. There's a supermarket in Israel called Hamashbir. That's Yosef. Yosef is the one who supplies sustenance for all of Mitzrayim. Vayavo achei Yosef vayishtach v'lapayim aratza. The brothers of Yosef reach Yosef, and they bow down to him. We're going to get back to this pasuk momentarily, but this hishtach avaya, this bowing is going to be critical in the story. And something which seemingly seems innocuous, the fact that the brothers bow down to him, seems to be the fact that you see a ruler, see somebody who's in charge, somebody who's a ruler of the land, you bow down to him, that's the appropriate thing to do. However, as you'll see in a few moments, this hishtach avaya, this bowing down, is critical to the entire story. Vayar Yosef es Echav. Yosef sees his brothers, Vayakireim, and he recognizes them. Vayisnaker aleihem. And Yosef acts like a stranger to them. Vayidaber itam kashos. And Yosef speaks very harshly to them, comes down on them. Vayomer aleihem, and it says the following. Me'ayin basem, where are you coming from? Vayomer, they respond, Me'atz Canaan lishbar ochel. We are coming from Canaan, from Eretz Yisrael, to acquire food. Vayakir Yosef es Echa v'heim lo hikiru. And the Torah again tells us that Yosef recognizes his brothers, but they do not recognize him. Vayizkor Yosef es Achalomos. And Yosef remembers the dreams, asher cholam lahem, that he dreamt about them. Vayomer aleihem, and Yosef says to them, Miraglim atem liros es ervas ha'aretz batem. You are absolutely, positively spies. You've come to spy out the land. You've come to search. You've come to take care and to look after the land. I'm concerned about you. I'm nervous about you. The brothers respond, absolutely not. Bolish barochem, we've come to get food. We're all the sons of one father. We are absolutely not miraglim. We are not spies. And Yosef again responds, you've come to spy out the land. And the Torah continues to go through the dialogue between Yosef and his brothers, a back and forth that is very intense, where Yosef stands his ground, speaks very firmly, very strongly to the brothers. The brothers retort. It's like a tennis match and a volley, back and forth, until ultimately the brothers regret what they did in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, and they begin to realize, we have done something wrong, we have done something terribly wrong, and they begin to go back to the beginning of Parashas Vayeshev, when they remember what they did to Yosef. Ultimately, Yosef takes them hostage, all the brothers hostage, then he lets them go, and then he keeps Shimon behind. That is the opening of Perek Mem Beis, the beginning of the unknown reunion between Yosef and his brothers. The Torah tells us in a matter of psukim here in Parshas Miketz that at this point, Yosef is 30 years old. If you remember last week when we started Parshas Vayeshev, we noted that Yosef was 17. So it's a matter of 13 years that have transpired between Yosef being the brother who is the teenager who his brothers hate, who his brothers throw in the pit, who his brothers sell to Egypt, to Yosef now being the mashbir, the shalit, al kol eretz Mitzrayim. So in a short amount of 13 years, Yosef emerges from a pit, from a dungeon, from being the hated brother, to being the ruler and second in charge, really, to Paro in Mitzrayim. Let's raise the following three questions as we begin Perek Mem Beis. Number one, why is it, and this is a most basic question, a question that we need to really analyze, why is Yosef so difficult to his brothers? I mean, you read the psukim, you see that Yosef knows who they are, they don't know who Yosef is, and the Torah says, Vayidaber itam kashos. Yosef speaks very harshly, very strongly, very negatively, does not reveal who he is, and calls them spies, calls them out as being individuals who are coming liros es eretz ha'aretz basem, and Yosef speaks very difficult, not only that, Vaysnaker aleihem. He acts strange to them, and does not reveal himself. Thus, we need to understand what's going on. Is this matter of a revenge? Is Yosef so angry at his brothers, so disturbed by his brothers, that he's just going to take it out on them? He knows that this is the sons of his father. He knows that these are his brothers. He knows that they made a mistake. They've done something terribly wrong. And we know at the end of the story, Yosef will say, Ki lemichya shlachani aleichem. This is all a matter of God orchestrating the events. We are merely puppets in the entire story. So why does Yosef speak so harshly, so negatively, so angry, and does not reveal himself to his brothers? Why does he put them through this charade? Why does he put them in jail? Why does he incarcerate them? Why does he place Shimon in jail? Why ultimately will he set up Binyamin and put Binyamin in jail? Why is Yosef being so difficult, so challenging? And of course, let's not forget, as we mentioned last week, Yosef is referred to as Yosef HaTzadik, Yosef the righteous. Is this what a tzaddik does? Is this what Yosef should have done? Should Yosef have acted differently? That is question number one that requires analysis. Question number two, Perek Mem Beis Pasuk Tes. The Torah tells us that after the back and forth and the short volley that takes place between Yosef and his brothers, as soon as Yosef recognizes his brothers and they don't recognize him, the Torah says, Vayizkor Yosef es achalomos asher cholam lahem. Yosef remembers the dreams that he dreamt about them. And immediately, piggybacking upon that statement, Vayomer alehem miraglim atem, liros es ervatz ha'aretz basem. Yosef remembers the dreams, and immediately after remembering the dreams, that's when he pins them. And that's when he tells them that you are our miraglim. You are spies. You've come to reveal the nakedness of the land. You've come to see and to spy and to survey the land. what is it about Yosef right now remembering these dreams? It's been 13 years. Has Yosef not thought about these dreams till now? And why immediately behind seeing his brothers does he remember the dreams? And what is it about the dreams that seems to be the impetus for Yosef referencing and calling them out as spies? Why Dafka now? And why does the entire story of Yosef and his brothers seem to be piggybacking upon this statement? And this seems to be really the highlighted pasuk that's going to really be the introduction to all of Perek Mem Beis and all of Miketz, Vayigash and Vayechi, Vayizkor Yosef Esachalomos. Yosef remembers the dreams. What is it about these dreams, and why are these dreams going to play such a critical role now in the way Yosef is treating his brothers, and why it is that Yosef is referring to them as spies? Those are the first two questions in Pshat. But on this pasuk, the Ramban, Nachmanides asks a third question. And it's a question I know many of you have asked me over the years. I'm not sure if we've directly addressed this question in this year, but it's a question that's critically important because it's something that we always wonder and think about it, but none other than the Ramban asks this question. The Ramban says, I don't understand. Although Yosef acted the way he did to his brothers, how could he do what he did to his father? How could Yosef not contact his father? How could not Yosef not send a shliach? How could Yosef not send a messenger, a letter, an email, a phone call to his father? Abba, Tati, I'm okay, I'm alive. Not only am I alive, but I'm the shalit, I'm the mashpir, to give his father some nachas. He knows he's the ben zekunim. He knows he's so special to his father. He knows the pain that his father has as a result of him being lost, or what his father thinks, that he's not alive. How could Yosef not do something more? And I'll read you the language of the Ramban. Nachmanides on this pasuk says it as follows. Chiyesh l'tmoa, we can ask. Yosef Mitzrayim Yamin Rabim. Now that Yosef has been in Mitzrayim for such a long time, he is the second in command in all of Egypt. How did he not send one letter, one note to his father, Lehodia, to tell him, Ulenachamo, to comfort him? Ki Mitzrayim karov lechevron kishisha yamim. The trip from Egypt to Chevron is a 6-day trip. Egypt to Israel are neighbors. They have a border. They share a border. Yosef could have went to visit his father for a day. He could have sent somebody. He's the second in command in Egypt. He could have sent an emissary. He could have sent a caravan of food to his father. 6-day trip. That's not a long time. Why didn't he do that? And the Ramban says, V'ilo hayim halach shana, even if it would have been a year trip, and we're not talking about a year, but even if the trip would have been a 1-year trip, he should have taken that trip to visit his father. He would have had to travel a year by train, plane, automobile, whatever it was, he should have gone to visit his father. His father would have been willing to give all the money that he had to take care of his son and to see his son again. What was it? And why did Yosef not do that? Now, of course, Yosef had a plan. There was something that Yosef was doing here. It's clear the questions that we're asking are not obvious in terms of why Yosef was doing what he was doing. But there's got to be a reason, a method to the madness. Why, number one, did Yosef not tell his father? Number two, why did Yosef act the way that he did to his brothers? And number three, what is it about the dreams being the highlighted pasuk, the sentence that seems to be the beginning of this entire story which is going to unfold? The Ramban says, in order to address these questions and to understand Yosef's activities and Yosef's behavior to his brothers and to his fathers, we must go back to the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, last week's Parsha, and to review none other than the dreams. Vayizkor es chalamosav. Yosef remembered the dreams. If Yosef remembered the dreams, and that was the impetus, and that's what led him to act to his brothers and to his father the way that he did, the Ramban says it's required reading. We need to go back to the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev and better understand these dreams, because there's something about these dreams that is seemingly very important to Yosef and very important to the story. So if you take a look back in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, Perek Lamed Zayin, chapter 37, Yosef dreams. Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Hey. After Yosef sees that his brothers are disgusted by him, that they hate him, Vayisnu also, Velo Yachlo Dabalosham, they couldn't speak to him peacefully. Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Hey reads, Vayachalom Yosef Chalom. Yosef dreamt a dream. Vayage Le'echov, and he tells his brothers, Vayasifo Tznoso, and they hate him even more. If they didn't hate him enough till now, now that he tells the dreams, they hate him even more. Let's read the dreams very carefully, because here's the secret to the entire story of the end of Sefer Bereishis. Yosef and his brothers, Parshios, Miketz, Vayigash, and Vayichi, is all found, according to the Ramban, in these 10 psukim, in a young 17-year-old's dreams. Listen to this dream that I have dreamt. Pasuk Vav, Zayin. Says Yosef to his brothers, we were binding sheaves in the middle of the field. My sheave arose and remained standing. Your sheaves, my brothers, gathered around and bowed down to my sheath. So this is dream number one. Dream number one is Yosef dreams of sheaths, and his sheath is the tallest, the strongest, and the one that remains standing, and all of the other sheaves, which are representative of the brothers, bow down to Yosef. You could just imagine the young child, the young brother, telling his older brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, strong, big brothers, sons of Yaakov, and this little Yosef, what are they going to say to him? Vayomer lechav hamaloch timloch aleinu mashaltim shalbanu. Vayosifo tznoso al chalomoso val dvarav. They hated him even more. They said, what do you think? We're going to bow down to you? You think you're going to rule over us? You're going to be the leader over us? You're a little kid. You're Yosef. That's not possible. That's dream number one. Dream number two. Vayachalom or chalom acher. Yosef dreams a second dream. And again, he tells it to his brothers. And he tells them, a second dream. The sun, the moon, and the 11 stars are going to bow down to me. Rashi Chazal point out the Shemesh ve'Yareach, or father and mother. There's a reference to Yaakov and Leah. Achar Asar Kochavim is a reference to his 11 brothers, including Binyamin, are going to bow down to me. How do the brothers react to this dream, the second dream? Yaakov says to Yosef, you think me and mommy are going to bow down to you and all your brothers are going to bow down to you? Vayikanu bo'echav, his brothers despised him. Not only did they hate him, vayikanu, they were jealous of him. V'aviv shamar sadavar, but Yaakov understood that there's something here, there's something happening, and Yaakov was willing to keep the matter in mind. Two dreams. Let's look at these two dreams very carefully, and you'll note that there are at least two significant differences between dream number one and dream number two. And the most obvious distinction between dream number one and dream number two is that dream number one is only 11 sheaves bowing down to Yosef, as opposed to dream number two, where it's 11 stars and the Shemesh and the Yareach. Meaning, both dreams, the brothers are going to bow down to him. And that's the dream either in the form of sheaves or in the form of the stars in the sky. But dream number one does not have father and mother in it. Dream number two does. It has the Shemesh and the Yareach ve'achad asar kochavim mishtachavim li. So let's note, that's this distinction number one between dream number one and dream number two, is father and mother do not bow down to Yosef. Only in dream number two do Yaakov and Leah, or Yaakov and Rachel, bow down to Yosef. But there's another distinction, and it's this distinction number two, which is really going to speak to the story which is about to unfold and take place and help us answer all of our questions. Dream number one, the sheaves bow down to other sheep. 11 bow down to one. But they don't bow down to Yosef. Right? Take a look in the Pasuk. The Torah tells us in Pasuk Zayin. Hine anachnu me'alumim, alumim betoch ha'sadeh, v'hine kam alumasi v'gam nitzava, v'hine tisseubena alumoseichen, v'atishtachavena la'alumasi. So here there's the reference that the sheaves, 11 of them, are going to bow down to another sheath of Yosef's. But the brothers are not actually bowing down to Yosef. It's the sheaths bowing down to another sheath. As opposed to dream number two, where you see clearly, Hashemesh v'hayareach v'charasar kochavim mishtachavim li. They're going to bow down to Yosef proper in the flesh, the real Yosef. But dream number one, that's not happening. It's multiple sheaths bowing down to another sheath. Of course, the multiple sheaths are representative of the brothers, and the one sheath is representative of Yosef. But there's absolutely no clarity in terms of the brothers bowing down to Yosef. It's sheaths, plural, 11, bowing down to sheath, and that's representative of Yosef. But in the second dream, Yosef sees something even more clear. And Yosef says, not only will sheaths bow down to my sheath, in terms of the skeleton me, but in this dream, dream number two, Shemesh, Yareach, Vachad Asar Kochavim, Mishtachavim Li, will bow down to me, myself, and I, and not to a skeleton, not to an imaginary me, but to a me in the real. Thus, we see these two very, very critical distinctions in the two chalomos, in the two dreams that Yosef dreams as a 17-year-old boy, and that's what brings Yosef to hate his brother. That's what brings the brothers to hate Yosef. The Ramban, Nachmanides, and the very same pasuk that I just quoted in Parshas Miketz, Perek Membe's pasuk Tes, says that here you see something that will begin to unravel and explain Yosef's activities. What Yosef remembers when he sees his brothers for the first time, Vayizkor es chalomosav, he remembers the dreams. Why does he remember the dreams all of a sudden? Because do you know what takes place in Parashas Miketz? Immediately before Yosef remembers the dreams, what do the brothers do? Vayishtachav lo. The brothers bow down to Yosef in the beginning of Perek Membeis immediately upon seeing Yosef, upon meeting Yosef, not knowing that he is Yosef. The brothers bow down to him. The Torah tells us, Perek Membeis, Pasuk Zayin, Vayavo Acha Yosef Vayishtachavu L'Apayim Arza. They prostrate themselves in front of Yosef. And only one Pasuk later, Pasuk Tes, Torah tells us, Yosef remembers his dreams. Something happens. But what's so significant about the brothers bowing down to Yosef and then Yosef remembering the dreams? Yosef said, I dreamt a dream. And in my first dream, there were sheaths bowing down to another sheath. And Yosef sees, and that's the reason that the Torah reports how many brothers went down to Egypt. Asara. 10 brothers go down. Binyamin is left behind with his father. The Torah is very explicit about that. And Yosef sees 10 brothers bowing down to him. He says, the dreams are not coming to fruition because I don't see an 11th brother and I'm missing brother number 11. And if the dreams are to come to fruition, I need my final brother to bow down to me. 11 brothers need to bow down to me in dream number one. And in dream number two, I need my father and my mother to bow down to me as well. Thus, the Ramban says that all of a sudden, 13 years later, Yosef begins to recall what happened in his early youth, in his teenage years. These two dreams are coming back to him, hitting him like a ton of bricks. It's true they've bowed down to me, but it's only 10 brothers that bow down to me. Not all of my brothers have bowed down to me. And more than that, my father and my mother have not bowed down to me. I have to make sure, very clearly, that these dreams will come to fruition. Your question is a good question. I'm going to address that question in a moment. But that's what Yosef is thinking. Now, we need to understand multiple things about what the Ramban is telling us. And here's how we begin. Remember, distinction number two between dream number one and dream number two is in dream number one, the sheaths bow down to another sheath, not knowing that it's Yosef. Dream number two, they all will bow down to Yosef, including father and mother, knowing that it's Yosef. Therefore, Yosef recalls dream number one. He says, you know what? They have to bow down to me, all my brothers, but they can't know who I am. They can't know that I'm Yosef. Because in dream number one, they don't bow down to Yosef, but rather the sheaths bow down to another sheath. And that's representative of 11 brothers bowing down to a 12th brother, not knowing who he is. Right? Vayisnakir alem. Yosef makes himself a stranger. He makes himself conspicuous. He puts a cloth over him. And he does not reveal who he is. And he speaks them very difficult, very painfully, very sharp, and he does not disguise and reveal himself. Yosef has to go through this process in order to make sure that each of the dreams come to fruition. Number one, he has to make sure that all 11 brothers bow down to him, not knowing who he is. So he needs to be able to get Binyamin to Egypt without anybody knowing who he is. And only once that happens, once dream number one comes to fruition, then he could reveal himself. And then everybody, including the brothers again, and his father and his mother, will then be able to bow down to him, mishtachavim li, knowing that he is who he is. That is the way Nachmanides, the Ramban, in Perek Membe's Pasuk Tes, explains, number one, Yosef's harshness, his very difficult behavior, his kashos, the reason that he speaks so powerfully and difficult and does not reveal himself to his brothers, because the dreams have to become fulfilled. They must come to fruition. And that's the reason that the Torah starts the story, Pasuk Tes, Vayizkor es chalomosav. Yosef remembers the dreams. Now he has to make sure that the dreams will come to fruition. And of course, says the Ramban, this is the reason why Yosef never tells his father where he is, never writes him a letter, never goes to visit him, doesn't send an emissary. Because if he sends for his father, then everybody will know this truth. Everybody will know the story. Binyamin will come, they'll all see him, they'll bow down to him, or they won't bow down to him, and then the dreams won't come to fruition. Yosef very, very much recognizes the importance of these dreams. Let me read you the language of the Ramban inside. I see a lot of very good questions that I will all address and share with you what the Ramban says, as I have really followed the approach in the Ramban in explaining what exactly is happening in terms of explaining the questions that I raised. Says the Ramban, Ki Yomer HaKasav, the Torah tells us, Ki Biros Yosef Es Echav Mishtachav Imlo, the moment Yosef sees his brothers prostrate in front of him. Originally, Zachar kol hachalomos, he remembers all of the dreams. Asher cholam lahem, v'yeda shalon eskaim echor mem bepam azos. And when the 10 brothers bow down to him, he says, you know what? None of the dreams that I dreamt have come to fruition. There are only 10 brothers bowing down to me. I need 11 brothers to bow down to me, unknowingly. And then I need my father and my mother to bow down to me, knowing who I am. Because he knows that the way the first dream will be able to be come to true fruition will be if all of the brothers bow down to him. Ki anachnu, and the pasuk in Vayeshev says ki anachnu yirmos lekol echav acharasar. It's a reference to all 11 brothers. Upam Shenis, the second dream, yishtachvel hashemesh vayirach vacharasar kochavim minacholam hasheni. And in the second dream comes true, he needs his father and his mother also. V'kevan shalor ba'ra binyamin imahem, since he doesn't see Binyamin with his brothers, chashav zos hatachpula, he came up with this ruse, he came up with this plan, shiyalil alehem, that he spoke very difficult to them, challenging them, kidei shiyaviu gam binyamin achiv elav l'kayem achal marishon tchila. They had to come up with a way, Yosef, in order to bring Binyamin to Mitzrayim without anybody knowing who Yosef was, not his father and not his brothers. Al kein lo ratza lahagilem, says the Ramban, that's the reason that Yosef didn't want to reveal to them. Ani Yosef achichem, I am Yosef, your brother. V'leimor maharuv alu alavi, and didn't tell them, go get your father, get my daddy. V'yishlach ha'agolos, kasher asimam b'pam hasheni, just like Yosef does the second time when he sends food, convoys, a tremendous amount of wagons full of food. He doesn't do that. Ki hayaviv ba miyad b'lo safek, there's no question that his father would have come immediately. Va'achresh niskayim acholam arishon, and now that the first dream has come to fruition, when Binyamin will come and bow down to him, higi lahem l'kayim acholam asheni, then Yosef will say, now that you've all bowed down to me, not knowing who I am, all the sheaths have bowed down to my sheath, you don't know who I am, Now Yosef can say, I am Yosef, ha'od avichai, go get your father. I'm going to send you food for him. You'll all come back. You'll all bow down to me. Then the dreams will be able to come to fruition. Thus, according to the Ramban, we have reconciled three of the questions that we began with. Number one, what is it about Vayizkor es Chalomosav? What is it about the dreams that Yosef dreams that seems to be the impetus and the driving force between his passion and his strong words to his brother? Number two, why does Yosef not send a message to his father to tell his father that he's alive? And number three, why does Yosef speak so painfully difficult to his brothers? The answer is, according to the Ramban, Yosef needed these dreams to come to fruition, and this is the only way that they could come to fruition, is by him not revealing himself to his brothers, to his father, and also by speaking very sternly and strongly to his brothers. Now, the question that is all on your minds, that you're all asking, and is a question that all Mefarshim ask, is really? This is the reason that he doesn't reveal himself to his brothers and to his father? Because the dreams have to come to fruition. Are you kidding me? It's not just your question. The Baal HaKedah asked this question. The great 15th century Spanish commentary on the Torah. The Chassam Sofer asked this question. The great Hungarian rabbi of the 18th century. The Vilna Gaon asked this question. All the Mefarshei HaChumash ask on the Ramban. Come on. That's the reason that Yosef acts the way to his brothers? Tell us the truth. What does the Ramban mean? Why is it so important that these dreams have to come to fruition, that Yosef goes through this tachbula, this very, very powerful plan of action, acting the way to his brothers and to his fathers? Vayisnaker aleihem. He acts like a stranger to them. He acts difficult to them. Dibir aleihem kashos. What's the pshat in the Ramban? Allow me to share with you four different approaches to understand the Ramban, based upon the great Mefarshei HaChumash, who explained that Yosef had not just a plan to fulfill the dreams, but it was much more than that. The first approach to understand the Ramban, and this is really what I would call the Pashut Pshat in the Ramban, is that we have to understand that when Yosef dreamt a dream, it wasn't like when we dream a dream. Yosef's dreams have an element of prophecy to them. Yosef's chalomos are nevuah. Yosef's dreams are not simply something that a kid dreams up, but it's much more than that. Yosef's dreams are a form of prophecy. And thus Yosef understood that when he dreamt as he did, even as a teenager, at the age of 17, the two dreams, that those two dreams were very, very real, were very, very important. And Yosef understood them as a sign of HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to him in no uncertain terms. And thus Yosef had to make sure that those dreams would come to fruition in order that the nevuah, the prophecy that he received, really would come to its ultimate final goal. Now you could see, of course, as throughout the parshios of Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash, that Yosef was a Baal HaChalomos. Yosef was a dreamer. And his dreams weren't stam dreams, but his dreams had absolute truth to them. And therefore, when he reveals the dreams to the Saraofim and the Saratabachim, like we saw at the end of Parshas Vayeshev, as we see that Yosef will reveal the dreams of Paro in the beginning of Parshas Vayigash, next week's Parsha, Yosef's dreams had simonim min hashamayim. There were signs from heaven. The ninth chapter, the ninth parak, Maseches Brachos, parak Arah, talks all about dreams, the significance in dreams, and the power and the potency of dreams. Dreams today, according to most rabbinic authorities, including the Aruch HaShulchan and the Chazon Ish, don't carry the significant weight that they did, certainly not in the times of the Tanaim and the Marim, not in the times of the Rishonim and the Rechonim, and for sure not in biblical times. Our dreams are shvach. We don't really have significant dreams. But the dreams of the Torah, the dreams of Yosef, were very, very significant, were very real. And Yosef understood that those dreams had to come to fruition. Therefore, that's reason number one to explain the Ramban. Yosef had these dreams, had to come true, because the prophecy had to come true. It's the second approach, and this is the approach of the Gra, the Vilna Gaon in Aderes Eliyahu. That's the Vilna Gaon's commentary in Chumash. And this pasuk quotes this approach of the Ramban and basically explains that Yosef's dreams had to come to fruition. And the Gra is answering the second question that we asked. And why is it that in Pasuk Tes, the Torah tells us that the story begins Vayizkor es Chalomosav, that Yosef remembered his dreams. And in the language of the Vilna Gaon, Lachin Hikdima HaTorah, the Torah begins the entire story Vayizkor Yosef es Chalomos, that Yosef remembered the dreams. Lehodia, to teach. Shekol masha asa lo asa elam rov tzidkaso shiikuma hachalomos shlo lahachish ratzon ugzeras elyon vizeo klal hatorah. Says the Vilna Gaon, similar to the first approach that I explained in the Ramban, and this the Gra says explicitly, that one may think that Yosef's approach and the way he was acting to his brothers and to his fathers was, or to his father, was a form of retribution, was a form of revenge, of anger, an attack against his brothers and his fathers. Says the Vilna Gaon, absolutely not. He was doing it to be Mekayim, the Ratzon Ugzeiras Elyon, Vizeo Klal HaTorah. The Gra understands that Yosef acted with absolute propriety. And it didn't mean that Yosef saw his brothers and then remembered the dreams. It's the opposite. Yosef remembered the dreams and thus in turn acted the way he did to his brothers. It was, first is the dreams, and now that the dreams are existent, and I recall them, I remember them, I have to make sure that they're going to be mikuyam. And once they are mikuyam, then I could reveal myself to my brothers. He wasn't looking to antagonize and to be difficult to his brother, stam to be difficult to his brothers, but rather he was doing so because he understood that the dreams were critical in the respect that they had to come to fruition. Those are the first two explanations of why Yosef acted the way he did to his brothers. But now I'd like to share with you two more contemporary approaches to explain Yosef's behavior to his brothers, not the approach of the Pasha Pshat and the Ramban and the Vilna Gaon, but I'd like to share with you an approach, number one, of Rav Shimshon Feil Hirsch, and then an approach of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rav Shimshon Feil Hirsch's approach, you can read inside, it's worthwhile, and the commentary of Shimshon Feil Hirsch on this Pasuk, Perek Mem Beis, Pasuk Tes, chapter 42, verse 9. It's valuable to see Rav Hirsch inside. It's not so lengthy, but Rav Hirsch has the following approach, which really, really is an approach of some Rishonim, including the Rabbeinu Yonah, including the Rash Mishantz. And it's a bit of a psychological approach. And Rav Hirsch says as follows. Take when there's a very intense sibling rivalry that takes place over the course of 17 years. The brothers hate Yosef. Vayosifu otsnoos, and they hate him even more. Vayikanu bo achiv. His brothers are jealous of him. So how do you deal with that? How would a good psychologist deal with that? It's not simply something that's taken care of overnight. That Yosef's just going to say, hey, here I am, it's Yosef, everything's okay. Rav Hirsch understands that Yosef also can't just simply write a letter to his father and says, hey dad, you know, you haven't seen me in 13 years. I'm in Egypt. I'm the shalit. I'm the second in command. I'm the viceroy to the king of Egypt. Let me tell you what my brothers did to me. Well, maybe then Yosef would have regained his father, but maybe then Yaakov would have been so angry at his brothers. He would have not only lost his relationship with his brothers, but he would have lost his father's relationship with his brothers as well. When there's intense discord, there has to be a way to slowly, carefully, meticulously, with a plan, be able to bring all parties back together. And here we have a problem. And the problem is, how will Yosef be able to manage to keep the brothers part of the family after revealing to his father what they did to him? Can you imagine how Yosef is going to react when Yaakov is going to react when he hears what the brothers did to his son, to Yosef? His father's going to lose it. His father's not a youngster. So Yosef has to carefully think, how will I tell this story to my father? Number one. Number two, how can Yosef forgive his brothers? Put yourself into Yosef's position for a moment. Yosef has such a difficulty, has such challenges, has such tribulations, an enormous amount of pent-up, really, anger toward his brothers. He needs to figure out how to deal with that. More than that, Yosef has to figure out how his brothers will be able to properly relate to him. Here it was that they hated him as a 17-year-old kid who was simply a dreamer. They didn't think anything of it. But now that his dreams came true, now how are they going to react? It's true, they're not going to believe it. They're going to be shocked beyond belief. And therefore, Yosef had to figure out a way, and this is what the tzaddik does, to keep the family together. How am I going to keep the family together? It's not going to happen just by me jumping out of the box and saying, hey, it's me, it's Yosef. I forgive you for everything that you've done. And it's not going to happen when Yosef sends a note or an email to his father telling him, Dad, I'm here. I know it's 13 years. I haven't been in touch, but Teidalecha, you should know that I'm the second in charge. Come to Egypt. I'll give you everything I need. And by the way, I'll tell you the story of how I got here. Yosef recognizes, and this is Rav Hirsch's psychological approach to explain the Ramban, is that the dreams are the key to be able to relive and to allow the brothers and Yaakov to slowly, carefully be able to return to each other healthy, calmly, and surely. Because after a story like this, Yosef thinks to himself, is it better for me to reveal myself to my father and tell my father what happened? Or maybe I should just hide the rest of my life and not allow my father to know what my brothers did to me. And Yosef has to deal with that. The answer is the dreams. The dreams will allow the story to unfold slowly, carefully, and will allow his brothers to recognize who he is in a fashion that's going to allow them to be taught in a very, very uncertain terms, carefully, who he is. Therefore, after Yosef slowly begins to reveal himself, Yosef feels vindicated, right? After all of these years, the hurt, the pain, the suffering, the fact that they never believed in his dreams. Now Yosef is able to show them that the dreams came to fruition, number one. Number two, Yosef is able to tell his brothers and to show his brothers that he's a leader. And he's a leader with compassion, because he doesn't shove it in their face. But he carefully tells them how he's going to be able to do that. He doesn't take revenge. He's not a dictator who's not compassionate, but he's somebody who's carefully, meticulously, scrupulously going to be able to show his brothers how to be a leader. Number three, the brothers are able to demonstrate their care for Binyamin, because as the story in Parshas Miketz reveals itself even more, Yosef watches how they care immensely and intensely about their brother Binyamin. Yosef thought that, my real brother Binyamin, the son of Rachel, maybe they'll see and act with him the same way they did to me, because the goblet is found in his knapsack. Maybe they'll throw him into the pit, maybe they'll sell him too. And that doesn't happen. And Yosef sees the way his brothers treat Binyamin. And again, he sees that they do tshuva. They're not embarrassed. And therefore, it's another success. And finally, on top of all of this, Yosef never tells Yaakov any time whatsoever what happened. Do you read the psukim? Miketz, vayigash, vayechi. Yosef not once. Imagine the strength, the emotional strength that it takes of Yosef, never tattletales on his brothers the way that he did when he was a 17-year-old kid, when he goes to tell on his brothers to his father Yaakov. But Yaakov is never told what occurred. And that's the reason that Yosef never reveals himself to his brothers. That's the reason Yosef never sends a letter to his father. And that's the reason that the dreams are such a critical point of this entire parsha and parshios of Miketz Vayigash Vayechi. Take a look in Rav Hirsch's commentary, Perek Mem Beis, Pasuk Tes. That's his approach. I'll get to all of these questions in a moment. Let me just share with you the final approach. And this is the approach of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zichron Levracha, in his Sefer Emes LiYaakov. And Rabbi Yaakov writes that he knows the Ramban, and he knows the question of the Akedah and the Gra and the Chassam Sofer. He says, I don't understand any of this. Even if you tell me Rav Hirsch, Rabbi Yaakov says, the psychological approach, it doesn't resonate with me. I don't understand how Yosef could have acted the way that he did to his brothers. I don't understand the way that Yosef and why he didn't reveal himself to his father. Says Rabbi Yaakov, I'm not satisfied with any of the approaches that I have learned in Parshas Miketzer Vayigash. Right, this is what it means, Torah, and Shivim Panim LaTorah, 70 different faces or approaches to understand Psukim and Parshios in the Torah. Right? The Ramban is not satisfied with the Chassam Sofer, the Be'al Akedah, the Vilna Gaon's approach, of Shem Shofar Hirsch's approach. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, this is what I think. What seems to me the explanation to Yosef's brothers is as follows. And this is not a psychological approach like Rav Hirsch's approach, but it's more of a pragmatic approach, I would call it. And this is Rabbi Yaakov's understanding of the story of Yosef and his brothers. And Rabbi Yaakov says as follows. You know, the brothers thought, says Rabbi Yaakov, that they were so smart, that they figured it all out, that they knew for sure that their little brother Yosef was a troublemaker, and that he was bad, and that he was awful, and that they hated him, and they were jealous of him, and everything that he dreamt wasn't true. It was an impossibility. Only their father Yaakov believed it. Yaakov was shamer es hadavar. Yaakov held dear and close to him what he thought about these dreams. The brothers, they thought nothing of it. It was a scam. It was a joke. It was a kid. But says Rabbi Yaakov, that you know what Yosef's going to tell them? Don't think you always know the answer to everything. Because what does Yosef do? Yosef knows absolutely positively that these are his brothers, and his brothers don't know that it's him. But what Yosef does is to teach them, everybody can make a mistake. And you know what? You too can make a mistake. And this is what Yosef does to his brothers. They don't think that this is Yosef. They have no idea. They're clueless. They're lost that this is really their brother. And says Rabbi Yaakov as follows, Shuhishtadel hochiach lam ki kol adam efshalo litos bumdenusa. Every person can make a mistake. Ki kamuva mishiftei ka bevada diniu bedin gomor. They judge Yosef with an absolute punishment. Umikavan shadayim lo nitzna torah hem ayu dan mitzad sichlam. They were judging him based according to their logic. Says Rabbi Yaakov, think about it for a moment. Mishpacha shuichaya b'shalom v'shalva, a beautiful family. The family of Yaakov, Rachel and Leah, 12 sons. Ava v'achva, such love and beauty that takes place in that home. Upitom, all of a sudden, ba'ach echad, one brother comes and starts spoiling the family. V'himdanu mitchila l'misa v'achar kach l'avdus, and all of a sudden they judge him to death and to servitude. V'hu ratza l'hochiach lam, he wanted to prove to them. Even somebody like him can make a mistake. Litos veloses osam kimiraglim can think of them as spies. The brothers know that they're not spies. The brothers know that they're only going to pick up food to buy food because they're starving and their father is starving. The brothers know that this viceroy, this man, Joseph, Safnas Paneach, is making a mistake. And if they realize that he's making a mistake, maybe they could realize that they too made a mistake. And Yosef is trying to teach them this very powerful lesson. If I can make a mistake and you know that I'm making a mistake, take some time to contemplate and to think, to ponder and to consider, maybe you made a mistake too, the way you acted with your brother. Maybe you shouldn't have thrown him into the pit. Maybe you shouldn't have sold him to slavery. Maybe you should have believed in his dreams. Think, everybody, says Rabbi Yaakov, that you don't know anything. The first thing that you need to know is that you don't know. And that's what Rabbi Yaakov says is the reason that Yosef doesn't send a letter to his father, doesn't reveal himself to his brothers, takes this dream and dreams very seriously, speaks to them very harshly, because he wants them to learn a very, very critical lesson. You made a mistake. And the way that you're going to know that you made a mistake is by allowing me to set up a scenario and a situation where you know that I'm making a mistake. I know that you're not miraglim. I know that you're not spies. You know that you're not spies. I know that you're not coming to take care and to look after the land. You're not coming to steal property. I know that Binyamin didn't steal the goblet. I know it's all a setup, says Rabbi Yaakov, but that's necessary in order for the brothers to begin to think things through differently. And the amount of time and situations and circumstances that the brothers go through should hopefully by the end put them in a situation where ultimate reconciliation will be able to come through. Because only when a person recognizes their own mistake, only when a person can take achrayus, responsibility for what they did, that's when you could see the other person. And Yosef understood the only way to bring harmony and return of sibling peace and return to the family system and to the family unit was for them to realize themselves what occurred. And if they recognize the mistake that they made, then shalom v'shalva, ava v'achva, and shalom and reyos could be restored in the family of Yaakov. So those are the four approaches to explain the position of the Ramban, that Yosef acted the way that he did. He acted difficult. Dibra lam kashos. The dreams had to come to fruition only because either the approach that dreams are a form of prophecy, that he was being going through everything l'shem shemayim, as the Vilna Gaon says, or as Rabbi Yaakov says, or as Rabbi Shimshon Frol Hirsch explained. These are various different approaches to explain these very, very difficult, challenging parshios, the parshios of Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash, and Vayechi. They all give us some insight into understanding Yosef's behavior. And indeed, we could call Yosef, Yosef HaTzadik, because his ultimate goal, Sof Maiseh B'machshav HaTchila, was to allow the family to be reunited in a way that was going to be successful. And after such a plague, after such a patch, after what his brothers did to him, you could only imagine that there'd be no way for Yaakov to be restored and for the brothers to see the harmony and the success that all three parties, Yosef, Yaakov, and all the brothers would be able to be reunited. But at the end of Parshas Vayechi, we see just that. And therefore, either through Yosef's pragmatic approach or through Yosef's psychological approach, we're able to see that Yosef successfully allows the family unit and the family system to be restored. Harmony again reigns in the house of Yaakov, but it could only happen through this very, very difficult way. Through the chalomos are the key, are going to be the answer to be able to get through and to return the family to where it was. Wishing everybody a great week. I'm so happy to answer.